Hey everyone, welcome to Taking Stock. This week, I am excited to have Nicole Boers joining us. Nicole is a good friend of mine, and we have worked together at Clarkston for over 10 years. We're going to talk about the topic of trade promotion management. Finally, I get to talk about a topic that I'm super, super passionate about. Nicole and I have worked closely together with various consumer products companies, helping deploy TPM process and system improvements. And we'll hit upon that topic today. We'll talk about the strategic imperative of TPM, why this is so mission critical for consumer products companies. We're going to talk specifically about funds management or checkbook management, how companies need to do that more effectively, and why that is really a foundational building block to TPM success, and also a building block for revenue growth management. We'll talk about revenue growth management. We'll talk about a definition of that, and again, why it's such a critical step to have your checkbook management and foundational capabilities in place. So enjoy the discussion, and we'll catch up soon. Hey, Nicole, welcome to Taking Stock.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to be here.
It's we talk all the time, so this is fun that we get to do it officially and on the record. So we've worked together, Nicole and I, for our listeners, for like almost like 10 or so years now, maybe. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right.
You with Clarkson long before I was, and then you left for a bit, and then you came back, and this is actually one of the first times since we've worked together that we're actually not working on a project together. So I'm assuming that you're loving not working on a project with me. It's just liberating in a lot of ways, right?
Not at all.
So the topic that we're going to talk about today is one that you and I spend really the majority of our time talking about, and that's trade promotion management. It's amazing. This is like, I think, my 11th podcast, and it's the first time we're hitting upon this topic. So I'm super excited. It's something that I know you and I are both equally passionate about. I was thinking back prior to our discussion. So I don't know if I've told you this story before, but like 20 years ago when I first got in this industry and I knew nothing about anything, I was asked to moderate a panel discussion on trade promotion management. And I had to do a lot of research to really even understand what TPM was. But when I think back on that panel discussion, and it was like the same challenges we face today. And one of the things that's clear to me, though, is the strategic imperative of TPM is more pronounced now than it's ever been. So I would love to hear your perspective kind of at a high level. Like, why is, in your opinion, why is TPM so important for consumer products companies? Why is this such a mission critical initiative for them to get right?
Well, for starters, it's the second largest expenditure on their balance sheet. So about 20% of revenue is spent on trade promotion management each year. So it's a large chunk of spend. And often in cases with manufacturers, they're not entirely sure that they're spending that money in the best way to get the most return on their investment.
Sure.
And they're kind of darned if they do and darned if they don't. So they keep going. They keep doing these interactions with their retailers. I mean, it helps in so many ways. So it helps differentiate their products from competition. They're constantly trying to get their products out on the forefront in the retailer's real estate so that consumers buy them. So they really want to create that product visibility and brand awareness with consumers. So they have to have a good relationship with their retailers in order to get their products up front and visible.
Yeah, and I think the key thing is, you know, I remember like we've talked so much about this idea of it being trade being at a kind of fundamental level. Some people think of it as just simply a cost of doing business. But how do you kind of transition that mindset? No, yes, this is something we have to spend 20% of our revenues on trade. I get it. But if we're going to spend that money, let's make it work for us.
Right.
Let's make it work for us. Let's have it move the needle, not just for us as a manufacturer, but also as a retailer. Like, how do we demonstrate that this promotional spend is going to help move the needle and drive mutual benefit for both manufacturers and retailers. And that's still something that companies struggle with.
It is something they struggle with. And I know that many manufacturers try to work with the retailers to do a profitability analysis to make sure that they can show the value of saying, hey, we're making this investment with you, and this is what you're going to get out of it in the end. And our consumers, because they are our consumers as a manufacturer and a retailer,
sure,
get the best value for their dollar. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I don't even know if it was a question. It was just a random observation of mine. So, all right. So I want to kind of dive into a topic that I know you're, you know, particularly passionate about. And it's an aspect of trade. There are so many different components of trade. It is cross-functional, and there are so many different aspects of it that companies need to consider. But I want to talk specifically about funds management or checkbook management. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that. How do you define that for those that might be new to this topic?
Well, the term funds can be used in many different ways. It's often referred to funds as the actual money. So you're given funds. Sometimes people refer to funds as a budget. So you're given a budget, you're given these funds. Mm-hmm. For the sake of this conversation, though, when I say funds, I mean kind of a checkbook functionality. If you think about it as a bank account, so a fund or a trade fund, it almost takes on an administrative transaction-like approach where you have deposits, you have withdrawals, you have transfers between your different funds. And then it allows companies to be able to track where their trade dollars are being spent. Mm-hmm. So it can take on from a practical sense, a very tactical approach, like a bank account, letting finance and sales know where their money is at any given time. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to trade promotion management, funds need to take on kind of a more less tactical, more strategic approach about taking a step back and saying, where do we want to make our investments? How do we want to make those investments? And trade funds, given this bank account mindset, is kind of a building block for that.
Yep. Is it fair to say that, you know, certainly companies have gotten better at this, but without the ability to more effectively kind of have a process where you're managing your funds or your checkbook. I mean, it's essentially managing for $1 billion company. You're managing a $200 million spend without any visibility as to how much have I spent, how much money is out there, what do I have left in reserve, what do I have left to invest? That is how some companies function. There's a lack of visibility and or transparency as to where the spend might be.
Right? Isn't that crazy to think that some companies don't manage this? They don't know what their budgets are. They take they figure out what they spent last year, and then they allocate those same dollars, maybe with an increase or a decrease depending on the year. And they don't necessarily track it. They don't do the upfront kind of work. They may determine a budget and maybe a sales plan, but yeah, then the funds are kind of tracked as they go along. So you want to spend this much money in the account. So it definitely becomes more reactional and tactical. Yeah, it is crazy for me. We do have some clients who are just now enabling this capability of a checkbook or a funds management approach. So that's helping.
Yeah, and I want to dive into that a little. So how do you do this well? Like, I mean, obviously, you know, this is not something you're just managing. First off, I think you probably need to get off spreadsheets. But how do companies do this well? What are some kind of steps that companies need to be taking?
Okay, so first of all, you need to be able to use data hierarchies and master data to kind of get your building blocks together about how you want to track these funds.
Okay.
And actually, it's taking those building blocks and how you want to approach your trade promotions in general, funds just being one part of it. There's lots of things that highly capable companies do well when they do their trade checkbooks. Ultimately, from a mindset, you want to think of funds management as more empowerment and less control. You want to be more strategic and less tactical. You want to think about this as an investment and less of just cost.
Yeah.
So a couple of things that really highly capable CPG companies do is they don't micromanage. So once they do have their funds in place and their checkbooks, they don't micromanage funds like you're giving a child an allowance. Mm-hmm. The control is more at the planning level where it's agreed upon and more strategic and less doling out funds as needed. So marketing and finance need to work together to determine upfront at the beginning of the planning year to decide where those funds are being, should be spent, or where those investments should be made. When you start doling out small amounts of dollars based on requests, you run into a lot of situations where sales may be asking for incremental funding. They need more money. And so that process alone takes up so much time where you're constantly trying to go back to the till and ask for more money instead of, you know, giving that money out front and having a strategic investment plan in place for sales and marketing to be able to go do what they need to do.
And doesn't it sometimes lead to, I mean, you're talking about potentially kind of asking for more, but don't some companies struggle with, forget about like overspend, they're underspending without that transparency, but you're leaving money on the table that you're not investing to drive the growth that you need.
This is true. Yeah.
Yeah. We had a client that we worked together on that referred to trade funds as trade fuel, which I always loved because you like thinking of it not as just a fund and nor a cost of doing business like I referenced earlier, but that this money is truly meant to fuel the market. This is meant to fuel your product. It is meant to fuel growth. And I like that idea because it just instills a mentality, especially for the sales organization, you know, what this is intended to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, it goes back to that cost versus investment.
Yep.
You got to make sure that you're investing your money to get your return.
Yep. So talk a little bit, I kind of jokingly said, you know, getting off spreadsheets, put technology to the side for a sec. I want to kind of challenge you to think through checkbook management from a process perspective. What are some processes that companies need to consider as it relates to checkbook management? And then I want to get to organization and technology.
So again, doing your planning up front and doing all that hard work in the beginning of the planning year allows you to have it allows you to keep your process simple. Mm-hmm. What you want to do is allocate the dollars loosely, but monitor them tightly. So and systems will allow you to do that as long as the planning is done up front. So I think where a system comes into play that'll help out the most is with tracking. Mm-hmm. So again, you want to be able to track. You need to know where your money, where you plan on spending your money, where your money is being spent, and how much money you have left over, like we were saying before, to be able to spend. So systems allow you to definitely tightly monitor, but and control, I guess, where you need to, but again, not not making something overly complex.
Yep. One of the things, and this maybe bleeds into the organizational piece of this, tactically from a management perspective, what role do salespeople have versus admins versus brokers? It's going to vary company to company. I get that. But do you have a point of view in terms of, you know, there are some of our clients who feel that hey, we want our salespeople out there selling. We don't want them worried about managing a checkbook. And there are some that say, no, salespeople need to adapt a general manager mindset and they need to own all aspects of their business. Where do you fall on that?
I fall on the side of sales owns the relationship with the customer.
Yeah.
And sales should know every aspect of that relationship, which includes the funding position and investments. But that's not to say that their life needs to be made more difficult with administrative tasks. So a well thought out, well planned funds management capability will provide them with the information they need to better manage that relationship without being bogged down with administrative tasks. Now, again, that goes back to the allocate loosely and track tightly, where if you keep your process simple and you allow sales to spend the money where they want to spend and you give them enough money and you give them the visibility into where their funds are, those administrative tasks should be less, and they enables them to focus more on sales and the relationship.
Yeah, I love that answer. I thought you were going to go with a typical consulting answer of it depends.
Depends.
But it does. I mean, it often does. You know, different nuances of different companies might dictate that. But I do like your answer. And I love your idea of allocate loosely, track tightly, shockingly, as closely as you and I have worked together. I've never heard you say that before.
That's so my mom. You've never heard me say that.
I think of a lot of things that you say, but that's not one of them.
With those relationships as well, if you think about finance comes into this, finance groups, they want to know where they're the ones who need to be tracking as well. They're the ones who need to report on it and have visibility into where all the money is being spent, and they need to be accountable for that. So oftentimes you might find a little tension between sales and finance. You know, finance may want more complexity within the funds process management because, they're ultimately responsible for the dollars. So finding the right balance between what finance needs and what sales needs is where the consulting answer comes into place, where it depends.
So I want to get your opinion on one last thing. And I remember, 5 or 10 years ago, you couldn't have a conversation about trade. If you wanted to sound smart, you had to talk about TPO or trade promotion optimization. Mm-hmm. And we would all talk about it. And for 100 people you talk to, you got 100 different definitions of trade promotion optimization. Similar to revenue growth management today. Revenue growth management, something that I believe started within the airlines and airline industry. And it's a mindset as much as it is anything else. But there are, for 100 people, you get 100 different definitions, but it is closely linked to TPM in a lot of ways. So I'm curious, do you have a definition of RGM that you'd be open to sharing? I'd be curious to hear that. And then wanted to kind of get your thoughts as to why checkbook management might be such a foundational aspect of RGM.
Sure. To me, RGM is just a fancy way of saying, let's increase revenue. And it's really all it is. It's how do we increase revenue? I think today's RGM takes it a step further with saying, how do we use analytics to feed our ability to increase revenue? So we become smarter and more efficient at it. But if you think of the four main elements of RGM in terms of trade, it is your pricing. What are you pricing your product at? What type of promotions are you running on different types of promotions and assortments of products, and how much are you going to invest in your trade? And the bottom line is you can improve what you can't measure. I didn't make that up. Another one of my mantras. So using funds and checkbook capability, it forces a discipline to be thoughtful and strategic about trade investment. And it allows for greater control from a finance perspective on how to keep in line with that strategic plan. Yep. If you know where your dollars are being spent, or you don't know how much has been spent or how much is left to be spent, then how can you measure and analyze?
Yep.
So using fund or checkbook functionality, it normalizes the process from plan to actual spend. So it creates those building blocks.
Yeah, that's great. And I think it's, it goes to show that, revenue growth management, there are, it's the sexy term that we like to talk about in the market today, but there are some foundational building block type things that you need to have in place. I agree wholeheartedly about analytics. I also believe that true revenue growth management as it relates to CPG needs to think about a holistic view of revenue growth, not just for the manufacturer, but also for the retailer.
Correct.
And I think that's where companies are doing it. If it is just about how am I improving my own revenue or my own profitability as a manufacturer, you're going to lose opportunities to truly grow the category and drive mutual benefit for the manufacturer and retailer.
Right. It needs to be the relationship between the manufacturer and the retailer in order to get the consumer to spend more dollars.
Yeah. And it's funny, and it's you just simplified it, and that's really all it is. It's how could a manufacturer and retailer take these funds to drive growth? And that's ultimately what you're trying to do, to try to drive that consumption and to try to drive consumer demand. And I think companies need to be thinking about from both a process, organizational, and technology perspective. There's a lot of steps that companies could take to more effectively not just manage that spend, but optimize it.
Correct. By simple.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you very much for sharing some of your wisdom with everyone. As always, thoroughly enjoyed our conversation and hope we'll have a chance to catch up soon. Thanks for joining.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
All right. So that was Nicole. Thank you very much, Nicole. And I meant what she said. She was very kind, but I think she truly is enjoying a break from having to work so closely with me on a day in, day out basis. But it was great to reconnect with Nicole. I thought she had great perspective around trade, around checkbook management, and revenue growth management. I get a kick out of all the different definitions of revenue growth management. I think there's a lot of different ways companies are thinking about it, but I think she broke it down in a really digestible definition that makes sense. And I loved her discussion of allocate loosely and track tightly. I think that's a great mantra for companies to deploy and to consider for your sales organizations as you're deploying trade funds or trade fuel, not trade funds. So thanks everyone for joining the discussion and look forward to subsequent discussions in the coming weeks. Have a great day.